This is Ian Pickus for WAMC News. And there's labor peace in Major League Baseball. The owners and players have reportedly reached a deal on a new collective bargaining agreement that will keep the players playing for another 5 years. That news is being hailed by baseball fans who still remember the 1994 strike that wiped out the World Series for just the second time. Joining us to discuss the deal is Rick Burton, the David B. Falk Endowed Professor of Sport Management at Syracuse University.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
From the details that have emerged so far, what do you see?
Well, I think labor peace is always great for any sports league, and it's actually bad for every other sports league when you don't have labor peace. I worked with the NFL one time, and baseball was on strike, and I said, that must be good for you guys in the NFL. And they said, no, it's not. It makes everyone think that, you know, the athletes and the owners are too wealthy and too privileged. And so when we have these work stoppages, it's actually bad for all of sport. So I think we celebrate this first for baseball and then really for the larger sport community.
In your experience, do the leagues get involved with each other when one is facing a potential stoppage?
I don't think so. I wouldn't specifically say that Roger Goodell was offering any input or any advice to the guys at baseball. But I think that they watch it very closely because the movements of one union, you know, the collective bargaining agreement with the baseball players, does have an impact on the NFLPA or on the Basketball Players Association. So I think there's a lot of different ways in which the ripples from this activity spread.
Now, you've been a league commissioner in your career for the National Basketball League in Australia, and you've been through negotiations like this one. Take us into the room. What happens?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, the players wanting to get a larger percentage of the revenues that are generated by the league. And what they've got to be able to get their arms around is what are all the different revenue streams. So you've got money coming in from TV, from sponsorship, from digital rights or online. You've got it coming in from ticket sales, sponsorship at the team level. And the players are, in fact, the game. The game doesn't exist without them. And what they have increasingly sought is a larger percentage of the pie. So in football, it had been for a while the defined gross revenue, and different leagues call that revenue by a different name. But ultimately, the players have sought a larger and larger percentage. And you can imagine that there was a time when the owners got the majority, a vast majority of it, kind of let's make it a 90-10 and 80-20. Today we're a lot closer to a 50-50 split. And I think that what usually is going on in the room is a discussion both of revenue, but then also the playing conditions or the travel conditions. If you add teams or you add games, football right now is looking at whether or not they can get out of 4 preseason games and go to 18 regular season games because they've realized the preseason games don't mean that much. But that's more wear and tear on the players, and it could mean then that the players have a shorter career and a shorter window to earn money, so they want to make more money when they negotiate. Those are the kinds of things that I think at the surface level are probably being discussed.
Specifically to baseball now, in this deal, it sort of extends the agreement for another 5 years, but baseball is not immune from any number of think pieces about what's ailing the game. Games are too long, attendance has been down in some key markets, and across sports, people are watching TV less. So where do you think the sport stands as we sit here at the end of 2016?
Well, I think you're right that the game length is a real issue, and Rob Manfred, I think, is very much willing to address that topic. I teach an honors baseball class at Syracuse University, and it's a topic that we've talked a lot about, that for this generation of kids, they recognize that baseball is as American as apple pie and that it's a part of the American fabric, but a lot of them are not willing to sit through 4 hours for a baseball game, or 3 or 2, and long periods where it doesn't appear any action is taking place. The game, though, probably would still argue that it has the largest fan base based on the number of people that come to games during the course of a year. They play 162 games. The NFL plays 16. NBA and NHL play 82. So far more games drawing far more, you know, far larger crowds when you're aggregated. But there are some real challenges facing baseball right now, and I think foremost among them is certainly the speed of the game.
I think most listeners will remember the 94 strike, which we mentioned earlier. The NHL lost a season and a Stanley Cup playoffs to a work stoppage. What kind of damage is done when a deal cannot be reached?
Well, I think there's two sides, two ways of looking at it. You know, one is, of course, if you take your product off the shelf and you say to people, you cannot buy this product, they'll find other ways to spend their money, and they will develop new habits. So money that they might have set aside, let's say, for hockey or for baseball when they've had work stoppages, was money that got spent in other things, boats or movies. And sometimes a lot of that audience will gravitate, will migrate away to a different interest. But the NHL, I was with Gary Bettman a while back, and he pointed out that actually after these work stoppages, that attendances came back actually to larger numbers than they had seen prior to the work stoppage. And so the spin that the National Hockey League put on things was not necessarily that the strike or the work stoppage was good, but that they could recover from it. There's not really been a lot of academic research on true recovery from these lockouts, but I think the bottom line is that it's bad for the sport and bad for the way young people think about a particular game.
Lastly, can you imagine Major League Baseball without chewing tobacco, which is apparently part of this deal?
Yeah, I can, because there's so many other things that, you know, baseball and even the other sports don't allow or have incorporated over the years. Change is always a constant. Change will always happen, and the players will learn not to play with chew in their mouths. But something else will take its place, and so, you know, what used to go on in the clubhouses 50 years ago may not go on now, but something else has replaced it. I don't think it's one of those hills to die on, as a lot of people talk about as being an issue that, you know, is a game changer or a tipping point. This is a non-event because most of us never see the athlete with the chew in his mouth.
Rick Burton is professor of sport management at Syracuse University, and he joined us to talk about the new collective bargaining agreement deal in Major League Baseball. Professor Burton, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for bringing the topic into everybody's living room.